I'm going to start the day off with a nugget. I didn't say it was a gold nugget. I'll let you determine if it sparkles or not. We live in a day when old values are rejected and the sense of significant purpose has disappeared from the lives of many people. The world's objective appears to be success, status, security, self-indulgence, pleasure, and comfort. I don't know how many of you go to the Museum of the Arts. Occasionally, my wife drags me downtown to the art museum. And as I look at those paintings of various people, I wonder to myself, if we judge our times by the paintings produced by some modern artists, we see indiscriminate splashes of color with no recognizable pattern or design. Like a child throwing paint on a canvas, they call it abstract painting. I looked up the word abstract, and here's what I found. Abstract involves general ideas rather than specifics or specific actions. Some people love in the abstract. We love everybody, they say. So I ask, who do you love? Abstract means disassociated, disconnected, impersonal, detached. Do we love in the abstract with no specifics in mind? Do we work in the abstract with no specific goal in mind? Do we run with no specific destination in mind? And more importantly, do we preach or teach in the abstract with no specific results in mind? Is there a recognizable pattern in our lives, or do we simply exist? One of the definitions of abstract is detached. So I looked up that word. Detached is not influenced by personal interests, separate and unconnected. Today, I hear a lot about being connected and disconnected, friended and unfriending. What are we talking about? Well, I am connected and I am disconnected. I am connected to God and His Word. Yet, I am disconnected from the world and its ways. It's lesson time now. We're starting in the middle of the one from yesterday. Scoot up your chair and lean in. Send to Joppa. Call here Simon, whose surname is Peter, who, when he comes, shall speak unto you. So Cornelius did. He sent his servants to Joppa, and down in Joppa, God was working with Peter. Peter was waiting on dinner, and he saw the heavens open and a vessel descending, where there was all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. And Peter heard a voice saying, "Rise, Peter, kill it and eat it." Peter says, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice said to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, that call you not common." If God cleanses it, if God approves of it, if God accepts it, why should we call it common? Why should we call it unclean? He said, "What God has cleaned, don't you call it common. Don't you call it unclean." The Bible says that while Peter was thinking on this vision, the Spirit told him, three men is seeking for you. Arise, get down there to them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men and says, I am he whom you are seeking. What is the cause that you have come? Listen to how Cornelius' servants describes Cornelius. They said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feared God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for you and to hear the words of you. Cornelius was a just man, a generous man, a fasting man. He was a praying man, one that feared God. He prayed to God always. Cornelius sounds like a man that God would be pleased with, a man of good report. He was warned of God by an holy angel from heaven to send for you, Peter. This man, Cornelius, this Roman soldier, I believe had already been baptized by John the Baptist, for we know that soldiers went to John the Baptist to be baptized, and they wanted to know what must they do. John says, just be satisfied with your wages. Don't be cruel to the people. Treat the people right. I believe that Cornelius was one of those disciples of John. He knew God. He loved God. His heart was right with God. He was accepted of God. Let me also remind you that not only did Cornelius know God, but God knew Cornelius. God knew where he lived. He knew exactly where Cornelius lived. And not only that, he knew where Peter was at. Peter wasn't at his home. God knew that Peter was down in Joppa, which was a few miles south of where Cornelius was at the time. Close by, one day's journey, Peter apparently was the closest one to Cornelius, and God knew exactly where he was at. My friend, you may think that you are living in the middle of nowhere. You may think that you live so far back up in the woods, back up in the sticks, that not even God knows where you live. Or you may be thinking that you have done some things that no one else knows about. No one else appreciates the things you've done. You think that you've been neglected. You think that you're underappreciated. But friend, God knows where you're living. God knows your address. God knows the deeds that you have done and you have not received credit for. They have come up before God. Your alms, your deeds, your labor of love, and your works of grace is come up before God. As a sweet-smelling savor, God is aware. God walks in the midst of his churches. He has his eyes on the righteous. He is aware of what happens to you today. Have no fear. God is the great monitor of this universe. He knows what's going on in every corner of the globe. And he does it all wireless. I know that men think they have done a big thing by going wireless, but the church has been wireless since its beginning. 2,000 years ago, the church went wireless with God. And I am so glad. Cornelius was kind of like those 12 disciples in Ephesus. When Paul arrived and he found out that they had not received the Holy Spirit, that they had only been baptized by John's baptism, Paul told them about Jesus Christ, baptized them. They received the Holy Spirit. So now we find out that the angel told Cornelius to send for Peter, and he would tell you what you ought to do. Now, I know that some of you are already thinking, Peter's going to go up north and tell Cornelius that he must repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and that he would receive the Holy Ghost. Surprise, surprise. This is not what happened at all. Peter didn't even mention the word repent. He never mentioned being baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. Peter just preached to him Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection.